You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Yeah. Welcome you back. A lot happening in the second half of the show. We'll talk more about the Michigan situation. But before we do that, let us say hello to an old friend who we used to see all the time, but things change. You know, guys go big time on their old poor friends, and we say hello to Booger McFarland. How are you, Booger?
Paul, what's up, buddy? How we doing, man?
Man, you look like did you buy some business? I mean, you're sitting back there in the executive chair.
No, Paul, you know what I did? I went to Office Depot and found the chair that looked most like the presidential chair in the Oval Office, and I put it in my office.
I saw those athletes in the Oval Office a couple of days ago. I was like, where's Boog?
It was a scheduling snafu. I couldn't make it, although President Biden did expect me. I had to tell him I couldn't make it, Paul.
I'm assuming you were playing. Nothing gets in the way when it's above 60 degrees. You're playing golf.
Yeah, I may have snuck nine holes in. Who knows?
Well, Booger, I have to start with this news of this afternoon. I miss not seeing you on Sunday morning and other times to converse about the big moments of the day. And today it was Jim Harbaugh. Michigan says we're done. Jim will miss the final three games just like he missed the first three. What does that mean? And what does it say about where this program is right now?
Well, for me, Paul, for Jim Harbaugh and Michigan, they were ready to fight this. Like, they were going to court last Friday, this hearing got set, and we were all pointing toward tomorrow morning in a courtroom. And then all of a sudden, less than 24 hours before that court date, Michigan and Coach Harbaugh says, hey, let's just back off and let's accept what's happening. Now, where I come from, Paul, you don't accept defeat unless you already know you're going to lose. And so somewhere in there, they knew that the judge's ruling wasn't going to be favorable, number one. Number two, I don't think they wanted the Big Ten to continue digging deeper into the Michigan program. Because the first thing I noticed was Jim Harbaugh dropped his movement in the court, and Michigan said, okay, and the Big Ten said, okay, we'll stop the investigation. So we're not going to dig any deeper. You back off, we'll back off, and we'll just go back to our respective corners. So I think it's a sad day. Because I wanted to see Jim Harbaugh on the field against Ryan Day. I wanted to see Jim Harbaugh on the field. And as someone who played the game, Paul, time stealing has always been a part of the game. Now, I know the manner in which they did it by videotaping is illegal, and I get that. And if they have proof that Jim Harbaugh was involved in that, he deserved everything that's coming from him from the NCAA. I just think at the end of the day, this is really much to do about nothing. I think you have a group of schools, of institutions, who went to Tony Petitti and said, hey, you got to do something about this guy. And so the commissioner of the Big Ten has to make a decision. Do I choose the one or do I choose the majority? And I think he didn't have any choice but to choose the majority, especially when that majority is made up of Ohio State, Penn State, and other institutions.
Booger, let me get to the critical part here, because I've had fans call in and ask me, but you know me, I defer to the experts. During, it won't matter Saturday against Maryland, but tell us during the Ohio State game, which will be the biggest game of the year. I mean, there's really not another game close. What is Jim Harbaugh being off the sidelines? How does it affect that program? How does it hinder Michigan during the game?
Well, as long as the game goes as scripted, then Coach Harbaugh really won't be missed because he can tell the OC and the DC kind of how he wants the game to play out. Here's where you're going to miss your head coach. If there's a crucial situation, let's say it's fourth and one on the Michigan 35-yard line. Coach Harbaugh may roll the dice based on a gut feeling and go for it in his own territory. I don't think the interim coach is going to do that. Coach Harbaugh may call an onside kick. I don't think the interim coach is going to do that. So there are certain specialty situations where Coach Harbaugh's imprint would go on that game. Now, as long as the game goes as scripted, kind of like against Penn State, then guess what? No big deal. But when you get against a team of Ohio State's caliber, of equal talent as Michigan, that game is going to come up with a bunch of ebbs and flows. And so, therefore, you're going to have to make some very critical coaching decisions. Do I go for it? Do I push the envelope? Do I go for two? Do I fake a field goal? Do I fake a punt? All those little things that you may need to quell some momentum or get some momentum, that's where Coach Harbaugh will be missed.
I mean, and even if there's some technique, and I really don't know what the rules are here for him to be watching and communicating, it really won't matter. I mean, these are instantaneous decisions, are they not?
These are real-time decisions, and I understand we have advanced so much in technology, and so far, unless they have something directly piped into the coach's headset, there's no way that you could go back and he could be at an offsite location and do something. Now, could he send a text message at halftime? Absolutely. Could he make a call at halftime? Absolutely. But as far as the in-game situations, I don't think that there's going to be any communication in-game. Halftime, listen, I would probably make a call at halftime if I were Coach Harbaugh. So if he does it, that's kind of on him.
And one thing people, you understand is when people think people, if, assuming he's at his house, well, he won't be at his house, assuming he's wherever he is, unless he has a real-time feed of the game, he's still going to be about 8 seconds behind, which will negate any communication anyway.
Yeah, which is why I say the only time he could really communicate would be halftime, pregame, things like that. But, Paul, I really don't know if it's going to be that big of a deal. I think Michigan is superior to Ohio State. I've watched them play. I think Michigan has the better quarterback. I think Michigan has the better offensive line. I think Michigan has the better defense. Ohio State probably has the better wide receivers, maybe has the better individual pieces along the defensive line. But I really think this is Michigan's best opportunity to win a championship this year. And all the opportunities that he's had since he's been there, I really think this Michigan team is really good. And as Tom Jackson would always say, Paul, if not now, when? Like, you got a veteran quarterback, you got the team, the game is in your house. If you look around college football, there really is no dominant team. So if Michigan can't win a national championship this year, if not now, when?
You just broke down Ohio State, Michigan. We're 8 minutes in, and I want to get to the conference that we spend a little more time talking about here, Booger. And I don't want to look past anything, but I'm going to, okay?
Let's do it.
We've got Alabama and Georgia meeting 2 weeks from Saturday. Just assess what you've seen from both schools.
I think Georgia and Alabama have kind of mirrored each other, but in different ways. Both of them have gotten better and better. I think both quarterbacks have really, the arrow has been pointing up. Both teams are very, very physical. I think both teams know each other. Georgia has kind of morphed into this downfield passing team. Alabama's got to beat you from a physical standpoint. So as we take an early read on this game, here's what I'll say. If Alabama can play the game at their tempo, meaning run the football, control it, keep the game in the 20s, I think Alabama can beat Georgia. If this game gets wide open and Miro has to throw the football 35 times a game and Alabama can't run the football, then that favors Georgia. Alabama has to run the football in order to win. Georgia doesn't have to. Georgia has proven with the quarterback they can throw the football down the field. They have some receivers on the outside, Brock Bowers, Ladd McConkey. They can push the football down the field. And so I think when all is said and done, both teams have quarterbacks that have improved, but they play a different way. If this game is in the 20s, Alabama can win it. If it gets higher than 28, 30 points, I think you got to favor Georgia.
Talking to Booger McFarland, I'd be remiss because you have some of your kindred spirits down on the bayou who keep wanting me to ask you about the LSU Tigers. What was your takeaway? I mean, they're probably going to finish up a reasonably good season, but not exactly what many expected before the year began.
Yeah, I think it's been one of those years, Paul, where if you ask BK, I think that from a defensive standpoint, it's been very disappointing. And I think everybody in Baton Rouge would tell you that. There's no way LSU's defense should be this bad. I've been embarrassed by it. I know the players have been embarrassed by it also. Have they made some steady improvement? Yes, but it's nowhere near where it needs to be. Offensively, I think it's the best offense in America. And it's, for me, it's a disappointment to waste an offense with the defense so bad. There's no way you should give up 55 to Ole Miss. There's no way that you should be in the situation that this team has been in, especially in some of the games that have been winnable. I think Brian Kelly, overall, from a macro standpoint, Paul, I think he's done a good job. I think he'll tell you himself that the job he's done hasn't been great because LSU is not in a position to win a championship. And I think that that's going to be the focus going into next year. How do you get this defense to play at the same level of the offense? What are you going to do at the quarterback position? Jaden Daniels is going to move on to the NFL. What are you going to do there? And I think for Brian Kelly, he's always made really big inroads his third year at a program. You go back to when he was at Notre Dame, go back to Cincinnati. The third year has kind of been the year where he's kind of made some hay. And I think people in Baton Rouge are going to be looking for the same.
You're on it. You've done this long enough where you get asked these prosaic Heisman questions in July. But we're getting late in the season, and I think we're getting ready to hear a pretty healthy argument about Jaden Daniels versus all the other players that you've seen.
Yeah.
He won't have a stage like Marvin Harrison, like Penix, like Bo Nix, like a lot of guys. How do you frame that conversation with knowing what you know about him and everybody else?
Well, Paul, first of all, I think if you look at where he started at Arizona State his freshman year and look at where he is now, I think you have to give a shout-out to Herm Edwards and then give a shout-out to Mike Denbrock, the OC at LSU, because his development has been astronomical over the last 4 years. As far as the Heisman Trophy, I looked up the definition in the criteria. It simply said this, Paul, the most outstanding player in college football. And you can't tell me with a straight face he hasn't been the most outstanding player in college football. Now, some will say, yeah, but LSU's lost three games. Okay, look how many games Louisville lost when Lamar Jackson won it. Look how many games USC lost when Caleb Williams won. Look how many games that Baylor lost. Okay, so there's precedent in a couple of different forms of the most outstanding player being on a team that wasn't competing for a championship. And so I think when it's all said and done, Paul, yeah, he doesn't have a stage. But he had a stage last Saturday night in Baton Rouge. The most yards you've ever seen by a player in the history of Division I football. And, Paul, you know, as far as I know, that's a long, long time. And so I think Jaden Daniels deserves to be the Heisman Trophy winner as long as he finishes this thing off right against Georgia State. The Texas A&M game is going to be a battle because they can't stand us. We can't stand them. And so that's going to be a rivalry game. But if he finishes it off any way close to the way he performed against Florida, hand him the Heisman, Paul.
We knew we would get the truth from Booger.
Here's a question I got for you. Who's going to be the coach at A&M? Because here's my quick take. I think Lane Kiffin would be a great fit. I don't know if the A&M people want Lane. I think Mike Elko is a safe fit because of what he's done at Duke. However, I don't know if you can sell Elko to the money people. So, Paul, you tell me. Who's the best guy that Ross Bjork and Texas A&M can get?
I can't give you an answer for this reason, Booger. I have been distracted now for 13 minutes and 47 seconds by whatever that is in your hand.
It's a back scratcher, Paul. I got a back scratcher. Sometimes my back itches. And so this was a Christmas gift years ago. It costs about $5. They got me a back scratcher. And, Paul, it's phenomenal. I just reach back there, scratch my back, and it's retractable. So I just put it back, and I can take it on the plane. It extends out. So, Paul, if you're ever looking for something like this, it doesn't cost a lot of money, but it's a great gift.
Booger McFarland, representing the Back Scratcher Company. Booger, great to have you on. What a treat. I mean, absolutely. We love having you. We'll see you soon. Booger McFarland joining us, doing the sponsorship for the back. I don't even know. Where do you buy a back scratcher? You got one? We'll take a short break, and we are back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back. Great to have all of you here. It's been a pretty wild show so far with all the news coming out of Michigan. And Tom is up next in Chicago. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you doing now?
I'm doing great. Thank
you. Quick question, though. I mean, I think we all agree, all these college coaches, that it's always the Jimmys and Joes is who's got the best players, who's going to have the best teams. And given the past of what Jimbo Fisher said and Tennessee with 200 violations over their head right now, Cam Newton, you know, winning a national title at Auburn, it seems to me the SEC has gained a lot more of an advantage by the way they paid players in the past before the NIL. Much bigger advantage with that than anything that some low-level staffer at Michigan was supposedly getting signs and coaches on the opposing team are too stupid or can't make changes or the players are too stupid to pick them up or what. It seems to me that this kid making 55 grand a year, which is what Harbaugh makes in, what, 2 days? I mean, you're telling me Ryan Day and these other coaches are getting paid millions, are getting outsmarted by this because of some
deal. Tom, what does that have to do with breaking the rules? Thanks for the call, though. Corky is in Fort Worth. Hey, Corky.
What's up, Paul? Yeah, I'm gonna talk about breaking rules. So you have so many coaches that break rules, but the honest truth, I mean, there's a lot of them that have that we haven't caught them. But if you want to win, you still get the best coach. And I really think Urban Meyer, even with his luggage, why would you not get him? I mean, it's all about winning.
Well, it is, and he is as mercenary as any individual I've ever been around in coaching. But I just don't think I don't know if Urban Meyer really has the ability to coach anymore based on his complete meltdown at Jacksonville.
Right, I understand. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Now you're pretty liked in my house. Now, you know, I breed French Bulldogs, and I gave my grandson one, and he named it Feinbaum.
Did he really?
Oh, you should see it, Paul.
Hey,
it
we is, need to – like we please send us a picture of that, and we'll put the
I'm going to.
We'll put the but prettiest hey, bulldog, French Bulldog in America on the air.
Yeah. Hey, well, hey, man, I'll talk to you later. I love you.
Thank you, Corky. Yeah, Corky's a – that is such a cool call. How about Mason next in Tuscaloosa? Hey, Mason.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
Hey there. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you? I just want to say, man, first, it's an honor to be able to speak with you. I'm a huge fan. And second, let's switch things up a little. How do you think Alabama's going to fare in Auburn this year?
I feel like Alabama is a little bit better suited for this game than they were 2 years ago. Having said that, Auburn will be far better coached with Hugh Freeze. So I think,
I mean, regardless to be the one season, I mean, not to cut you off, but I mean, you know, that game's always, you know, a shootout.
It usually is. I mean it's not every time, but I think it will be a tough game for Alabama.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one more thing, if you don't mind, man, I'd like to shout out the company I work for. It's Restoration One here in Tuscaloosa. We do water damage. Also, expertise in fire and mold remediation. So if you have any issues, please call 205-632-7900. And roll tide.
Did you get that down?
I got it.
Was he say water restoration? Can we have some of our salespeople call these folks? Maybe they'd like to advertise. Yeah, I mean, that guy is a good employee when you can get your company on a show like this. Jeff is up next in Texas. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good, good. First-time caller, long-time listener. Appreciate you having me on tonight.
Thank you.
Hey, well, I want to thank you first for not making me follow up Booger McFarland. The guy's a legend. There's nothing I could do to top that. I mean, the back scratcher, all I've got is a magnifying glass. I don't know if I could even keep up with that.
I mean, that was really funny, I thought.
I mean, who talks better than a former defensive tackle? I mean, I don't know.
And by the way, who can't do a 12-minute interview without scratching your back?
I mean, he talks just about faster than Jimbo Fisher, man. I love that guy. I love it every time you have him on there. All right, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What does Billy Ray Cyrus' song Achy Breaky Heart, Taylor Swift's Boyfriend, and Jim Harbaugh have in common?
You have me stumped.
We're all tired of listening to it.
Fair. I was tired of listening to Achy Breaky Heart the first time I heard it.
Hey, I got a question for you. Seriously.
By the way, Jeff, we had Billy Ray on the show a couple of years ago. And I don't want to say it's the worst interview we've ever had because that would include a lot, but it's certainly in the bottom five. He was incoherent.
Yeah. Well,
and I have
Bergen
no idea why he was
you.
On. Does anybody remember why? What? Yeah, I mean, we literally, it was Halloween. He was on to pitch something. That's usually how we get stuff like that. And I kept saying, well, Billy, I know you want to talk about some, you know, that's kind of the key to, you know, whatever you're doing, whatever connection. He didn't remember what he was on here for. It was funny. I don't mind you having a good time before you go on an interview, but whatever he was taking was pretty powerful stuff. Anyway, tried to drop a couple of Miley's references, but he wouldn't go there. Susie is up next.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hello.
Hello. I know you're doing good today, so I'm not going to ask you how you're doing. I just wanted to comment on Booger McFarland, the interview. Every time he's on, he's just, there's nobody better, and I really enjoyed. And do you think he would ever coach a football team?
No, it takes too much time.
And how did he get his name Booger?
Now, I have asked him that. His first name is Anthony.
Okay.
And I think therein lies why his nickname became Booger. You ever heard of a defensive lineman named Anthony?
Yeah, right. Booger's better.
Anthony sounds like somebody who should be marrying Cleopatra.
Right. Safe travels tomorrow to Rocky Top.
Thank you. We will be right back. Much more to come. More on the update on the Michigan situation right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We are back. A quick update for you latecomers. The University of Michigan today folded its cards and will accept the Big Ten's punishment of three-game suspension for their coach Jim Harbaugh. That's after all the hue and cry and all the noise and all the allegations thrown back and forth in the wake of what happened last Wednesday. The hearing had been scheduled for Friday morning, so Harbaugh now done for the Maryland game Saturday afternoon in College Park, and then the following week in Ann Arbor against Ohio State. He will be eligible for postseason, meaning the Big Ten championship game, the CFP or whatever comes next. Expired is up next in Texas. Hello, Expired.
Hey, Paul. Hey, I get really sick and tired of hearing these people speculate about crazy candidates for the A&M job. I mean, I heard Art Briles from one knucklehead, Urban Meyer, he's not going to A&M. They don't want that idiot, okay? He's a hell of a coach, but, man, that dude, I mean, he's done some shady things and in and out of coaching. So, I mean, can we just stop? It's going to come down to four or five guys and maybe somebody from left field. We know that Dabo inquired. Ryan Day's inquired, Freeman from Notre Dame's inquired, but none of those guys probably are going to fit. And it is what it is, but please don't say Art Briles again, and please don't say Urban Meyer again. I mean, that's
well. Here's what happens. Expired, and we've all been through coaching searches, and people know names, and none of us know exactly what the A&M mindset is, but. You always have to think about where is this school at the point in time. You just can't throw names up against the board. It doesn't work.
Correct. I agree.
I would say, having said that, a lot of times you have no idea. The most surprising hire that I've seen in a long time, I'll let the audience think about it for a second. It's pretty close to home. I was Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma, to SC was, you could see that. That made a lot of sense. But I don't think anyone saw Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame for LSU.
I agree 100% with that, Paul. And really, I didn't see Sarkisian. I didn't see Texas hiring Sarkisian.
No, I agree. And, I didn't either. I thought that was a surprise.
And that was it turned out to be a pretty good hire, as much as I hate to say it.
No, I think it's
really
been a great
hire. And I think that's what A&M's looking for is maybe somebody, you know, Sarkisian had the chops, you know, he was head coach at Washington and SC and stuff like that, you know. But, you know, right now it seems like it's pointing towards Mike Elko or maybe Coach Traylor from UTSA. And, of course, anybody can at any point can get fed up and say, hey, I'm going to go to A&M and call in and say, hey, I'm interested, and they can nab him because – money's not going to be a problem. I know that, and you know that. But it's just an interesting deal. I just don't think Art Briles should be mentioned with any job.
Art Briles is not hireable anywhere in this country. End of story. We don't need to belabor the point. Guy is in Houston. Hello, Guy.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on what I think is a very smart tactical decision by Michigan, and it may play out to be the benefit of the Big Ten themselves. By avoiding a hearing tomorrow, they avoid the circumstance where a judge doesn't make a ruling immediately, but takes the matter under advisement and thinks about it for a week or two. And during that week or two, may have restored Harbaugh to the sidelines, so he would be there during the Maryland game and the Ohio State game.
Right.
But then if the judge ruled in favor of the Big Ten, he would miss the playoffs. I think this is a better move for Harbaugh. And frankly, knowing that Ryan Day apparently hired a private investigating firm to investigate Michigan and all this matter, I think the Michigan fans are going to be so fired up.
Hey, Guy, I believe that had been debunked. Yeah. But I agree with your basic premise. And that's why I found all the commentary last week aimed at Tony Petitti to be futile, because this is how smart people operate. Anyone who is familiar with the legal industry, you scream and holler, and then you try to find an accommodation. You don't just go scorched earth. because you don't know what's going to be discovered on the other side of it.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I think
while they were thinking about it, they could have put Harbaugh back on the sideline and him miss the playoffs.
Right. Some people are going to theorize that Michigan feels pretty good about what they have versus Ohio State. And I don't know. I think it's more significant now if they beat Ohio State. And I think it's also worse for Ryan Day if he loses that game to a Michigan team that doesn't have a head coach.
I agree completely. And I think it would very likely happen.
I don't think we may be overthinking it, but it's a really good point. Thank you for saying that. Melinda is in Georgia. Melinda, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Paul. How are you tonight?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Quick question. As a former principal of a school, if I have a student who makes a 100 on a test and I find out later that student cheated, guess what that student's going to get?
I cannot wait to hear this.
A zero. And my analogy is with Coach Harbaugh. If it's found that he's cheated on certain games and he had a W in the column, why wouldn't those wins have to be vacated?
Well, Melinda, they could. The issue is, when will that happen? The NCAA has the right to do that. And 3 years from now, when they finally get around to figuring this case out, they might, but it won't matter then.
And you know what a mess that would be?
Yeah, I do. There have been in basketball national champion. I don't know if it's national championships, but appearances have been vacated. I'm trying to remember if the national championship has been vacated. I don't think so. But I have seen in the past where they will literally, I think John Calipari went through it. Did he not at Memphis or UMass, one of the two, where they vacated the USC Who vacated that? Was that the AP, Paul? USC in 2004, during the Reggie Bush situation, I think they vacated it. But
and if that Connor guy was sitting on the sidelines,
the 2005 BCS championship. But the bottom, Melinda, I apologize for cutting off. We have to go to a break. It doesn't matter. If you win a national, let's say if Harbaugh wins a national championship in 3 weeks or 6 weeks, I should say. And 3 years from now or 5 years from now, they vacate it. Does it really matter? He's won the national championship. We all saw it. We'll take a short break. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Shannon is up next in Augusta. Hello, Shannon.
Hey, Paul. It's great to talk to you this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Paul, I want to very respectfully disagree with some comments I heard earlier on the show that Michigan backed down probably as a result of some back-channel communications between the judge and Michigan and the Big Ten.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if all the callers kind of know how this works in court, but Michigan folded because they were going to lose. It's really very simple. This request for a TRO, it was a high-risk maneuver, and they thought they could bully the Big Ten into backing down. Three things were going to happen tomorrow, and it was going to be glorious. First, the Big Ten's evidence, that whole file from the NCAA, was going to become part of the public record. And all the journalists all across the country were going to be able to sort through what the NCAA had found so far. Second, Michigan wasn't going to prevail because part of the legal standard is they had to show they were likely to prevail on the merits.
Right.
And they couldn't show that. Okay, they couldn't meet the legal standard. But third, and probably more importantly, this hearing tomorrow was only a preliminary stage. After that, as the litigation proceeded, Michigan was subject to the discovery process, and the Big Ten was going to be able to subpoena documents, computers, phone records, and they even could compel the deposition of Jim Harbaugh under oath. It was going to be a total bloodbath for Michigan tomorrow. So I think, in my opinion, that is why Michigan folded. They had to. They thought they could bully the Big Ten. They didn't. And now Michigan only has to deal with the NCAA, which doesn't have subpoena power. They can just stonewall the NCAA, and we'll be months down the road, and this whole thing will go away.
So I'm hearing you loud and clear, and I'm coming around very clearly on what you're saying. And I think the key thing you said was they were trying to bully the Big Ten to dropping it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it didn't work, and it just shows you, you know, Tom Mars has some success, but in this instance, he was just a big blowhard, and so is Michigan.
Well, I mean, I haven't followed every one of Tom Mars's cases, but that's usually what lawyers do, and you know it, obviously. And they come in and they swing, and then they'll be stuck. And yeah, I totally agree. And right now, in Michigan can hang their hat on. They don't have anything on us.
Right, exactly.
And that was clever, I think, by Petitti, by not specifically and directly linking Harbaugh.
Yes, I think that was very crafty on his part. And also, I did not realize until today, he was deputy commissioner of the MLB when the Astros had their scandal.
Yes, he was. And not that it... You know, everyone goes to law school that's in a court, at least they're supposed to be, other than unless you watch Suits. But, I mean, he's got a law degree from Harvard. He's practiced law at the highest level in Manhattan. I mean, this guy is, you know, he's not a stooge. And he played a game, and he shut them down. You're 100% correct. Whatever I said earlier, I will remove from the record with the court's permission.
Absolutely, Paul. Love the show. Go Dawgs.
Man, thank you. I do not want to get in an argument with Shannon. No. She came guns a-blazing, and she was right. Which brings us to I-Man.
Ooh, I thought that was part of a sidebar there. Yeah. I have a shot of tequila, if you don't mind. I tell you, Alec Murdaugh, he would have loved to have had Shannon on his team. War Michigan Wolverines.
Right.
I hope they win out. I hope they win out just because it creates good radio. And you know, let me point let's talk about Judy for a minute. Judy, I really appreciate you giving me something to talk about for 2 days. But if you're going to be a big part of this show, call in so I have something to talk about for 2 more days. Judy. You know, Paul, is it true? I was watching the game the other day, and I thought I saw something, but somebody brought it to my attention. On the Alabama sidelines, this guy was toting around a jar of dirt. You know, regular, like, topsoil, brown dirt. You know, so, well, what could that be for? Do you know what it could be for?
I really don't, man. Please tell me.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, and we already know Nick Saban's going to step down. He's going to quit, you know, because he don't cuss enough. Can you imagine the language? You better cuss them. You better cuss them, Nick. I'm going to cuss you. You know, I mean, so anyhow.
With the court's permission, could I ask you one question?
Sure.
Are you entertained by this diatribe?
No, I'm just having a conversation. Okay. I didn't call to entertain anybody. I'm just having a conversation.
Well, I just do not understand the level of absolute hate, Trid,
hey,
that you have for Nick Saban.
Do I sound like I got hatred? I mean, I don't sound like that guy said, I'm going to slap him in his face. No, hell, he ain't going to slap nobody in the damn face. But I'm just having a conversation. It's not about hatred. But we already see that things are changing up at the Criminal Tide. But anyhow, I was told you know, that Nick's upset because he's got a quarterback now that's looking at the offensive coordinator that Nick hired and said, we ain't running those plays. I don't like those plays. We're going to do these. Because that's what the quarterback said. That's the words.
When did the quarterback say that?
I think it was after a game.
Or you think?
They changed up the plays.
Oh.
They changed up the plays.
And your evidence is you think?
Well, I mean, it was on TV.
Okay.
I mean,
there it is. Doesn't matter. You're right. TV settles all issues.
All right. So, but anyhow, you know, they take everybody else over to the dry erase boards, but Sid Milroe couldn't read them, so they poured the dirt on their erase board and they draw it out in the finger on the dirt. But anyhow, moving right along. I mean, Paul, when Michigan wins out, and you know, it wasn't long ago the Bears were staring down the barrel of a shotgun. But now we all entertain because Harbaugh, he's got to go. He's dirty. He's dirty. The NCAA, I think, is a brilliant move, what they did. And I hope they kick the living hell out of Ohio State, although I do like Ohio State.
Yeah. By the way, I mean, you have piqued something in me. And in a perverse way, I hope Michigan gets through this, too. And you know why I hope Michigan gets through this?
Why is that?
Because if they happen to run up against the Crimson Tide, Nick Saban will wipe the floors with Jim Harbaugh.
No, they have to play. They have to play Georgia. Listen, Alabama's not going to get there. Alabama's stuck at 8, and when they come to Auburn and Auburn hangs an L on them, then it's over. It's over, Paul. And then you can go to the Sabans and do an interview, and you take your little. Your standard box.
You're saying go back out in the dinghy, right? Three men in a dinghy.
They'll all be cussing. That's right. Get in the dinghy and turn that sucker over to you.
Bad man right there, folks.
Cuss him, Paul. Cuss him.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.